This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
A little after 5 o'clock here on this Friday in New York City. If you've missed any of the program, you could rewind on the Odyssey app. Certainly a lot of discussion on the huge policy change by the New York Yankees. We also talked to the manager of the New York Mets, Carlos Mendoza, who was talking to us at 5:30. Or 3:30 he was on, not 5:30. That's coming up in a half hour. Sean is still wearing his L, which I'm very proud to see. By the way, coming up in a little bit, we will address Sal Licata's response to Sean Morash's challenge at Tiki Trivia. I have not heard what Sal said.
I listened
to the midday show. You haven't heard it?
No, I haven't.
You better hear it because you got to cut it so we can hear it.
I forgot about it.
I listen to the midday show a lot, but usually like right around 1:30 or so. I'm getting ready for the program. So I didn't hear this, but apparently Sal did respond to Sean's trivia challenge. So we will get to that coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. So obviously, just a monumental day in Yankee history. On the 40th anniversary of Yogi Berra being lied to about job security, the Yankees remove their beard policy. So I'm here to give you, to me, in my life, the five Yankees I wish I had gotten to see with a beard.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Interesting.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
Johnny Damon. I saw him in a Red Sox uniform with that beard, and I was jealous of his look with the Red Sox. It would have been cool to see him as a Yankee with that beard.
I was leaning towards making that number one, because seeing that caveman look with the Yankee pinstripes would have been legendary.
Look, as this list continues, there are going to be people on here that we've never seen with a beard.
Well, I
so just
it.
Understand.
I
All right, here we go.
Number four.
Aroldis Chapman. Hear me out. He grew some scruff at post-Yankees, and I got to be honest, looks more intimidating with the scruff. Does he give up the homer to Altuve if there's a beard?
Because he knew it was an off-speed pitch.
But would it have distracted Altuve just a little bit where he didn't hear the buzzer the right way?
Maybe he doesn't give up the home run the following year, too. We always forget about that one, maybe because there were no buzzers and because it was an empty ballpark. But he gave up the game winner to Tampa. Do you remember who the guy was?
Oh, it was somebody that...
I think I know the name, but I'm not even positive. I think it was Brousseau.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was somebody that...
Mike Brousseau?
We brought this up last year. Like, he was available and somebody
flirted
with him.
Yes. Right, but he was the guy with his home run against Chapman, and it's so forgotten about because it was the pandemic and because it was the year after Altuve.
Yep, here we go.
Number three.
Hear me out. Paul O'Neill. Now, post-career, he hasn't had a beard either. Here's why I would say that, though. He was so insane with slamming the water cooler and everything. Maybe O'Neill would have been the type of 90s Yankee to start the rally beards, break out of the slump kind of thing. And I feel like Paul O'Neill would have looked tough as hell with a beard.
That would have been weird.
Yeah, he just seems too, like, clean cut.
He does, but if you go back and remember how crazy he was as a player.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but that's what made it more, I don't know, menacing.
I guess. But now I'm dreaming. All right, here we go.
Number two.
There's no better beer-drinking Yankee player that would have looked good with a beer than David Wells when he took the helm.
Yeah, that would have fit him, too.
Definitely. Right. Definitely.
Bald guy with an intimidating beard.
Right.
And I'm pumped for
who
number
didn't
one.
Didn't sleep the night before.
Yes. Here we go. Perfect
game. Number one.
And the number one Yankee I wish we could have gotten to see with a beard. And it's a year too late. John Sterling.
If you
didn't apply, did it?
Yeah, everybody works for the organization.
Well, if you're including everyone who works for the organization, there were other people I would have brought up.
Who?
Like Hal himself or the boss. Like, wouldn't you want to see them with beards?
Well, look, I can only fit five in here, but John Colin, you know, on a good off the West Coast trip, forgets his razor, comes back, be great.
I think John Sterling was always allowed to grow a beard. Like what Hal said earlier today. Yeah, because Hal said it because someone asked him about ununiformed personnel, and he said, we've always been allowed to do that. It was just players in uniform and coaches in uniform. So there were Yankee executives allowed to grow a beard if they wanted to. Just Randy Levine chose not to.
Well, nonetheless, I wish I got to see John in a beard. Maybe Dave Sims will grow one this year.
He very well could. All right, there you go. There's Sean Cinco de Five-O. Obviously, this has been a big topic all day long, talking about this beard policy change, and we've heard from everybody. Right, Tiki's given his opinion. I've given my opinion. Sean's given his opinion. You, the audience, have given their opinion. But there's one opinion we haven't quite heard from yet. So, we haven't had this at the radio station in a very long time. And for some of our older listeners, you may remember the missives. So, ladies and gentlemen, a missive from the boss.
Hal and Brian, you've done it now. You've done the unthinkable. Change my beard policy. What, were you sitting around, twiddling your thumbs, thinking, hey, let's make the Yankees look like a circus? Because let me tell you, fellas, if that's what you were going for, congratulations, mission accomplished. Let's get something straight. This is not about just any beard. I get it. People like their facial hair. Fine. But we're talking about beards. Some of them are a disaster, some of them are unsightly, and some of them look like they're being worn by guys who lost a bet at a lumberjack convention. You ever see one of those beards that looks like a bird could move in at any moment? I hate those. You want to wear a beard that looks like it could double as a homeless shelter for woodland creatures? Go ahead, but not on my Yankees, not in my house. And we'll know why this is happening. It's one thing to lose Juan Soto in free agency, but you guys lost him to the freaking New York Mets. Let that sink in. Juan Soto, a player who could have made us the powerhouse we used to be, yet we let him slip away. I'll tell you right now, folks, under my watch, we would never have lost Juan Soto. I would have pulled the trigger, I would have made the deal, and he would have been in pinstripes playing in the Bronx where he belongs. And don't get me started on the scraggly beards. You know the ones that look like someone tried to grow it out but only got halfway there before giving up? Hal, Brian, these are the beards that make me want to throw a bucket of clippers at the team. I want a sharp and clean look, like a professional athlete, not some guy who's been living in a cave for the last 5 years. But the worst? Oh, I'll tell you the worst.
What's the worst?
The worst is when a guy tries to grow one of those fancy beards that looks like he's trying to start a hipster coffee shop in Williamsburg. Those beards that are meticulously groomed with oils and combs and probably have a name. Stop it. I don't need my players looking like they're getting ready to open a food truck or talk to me about their artisanal beard care line. This isn't the place for that, and I'll tell you this. You take those kinds of beards and Juan Soto, the player we should have signed, and I would never, never have let him walk. Soto's the type of player that demands respect. And what do? We let him slip right through our fingers. You think we would have lost Juan Soto under my watch? Not a chance. I would have traded half the roster for him, and while doing it, I'd have made sure everyone's beards were in tip-top shape. No excuses. And we'd be winning championships instead of sitting around questioning our beard policies. So, Hal, Brian, you've taken this team in a direction that I never thought possible. But if you want to keep letting guys look like they're auditioning for a role in Duck Dynasty, then good luck. But mark my words, next time you walk past a Yankee locker room and you see a player's beard looking like he's trying to camouflage himself in a swamp, I'll be watching. Let's get back to what we do best, winning. not worrying about which kind of beard has too much oil in it. Thank you. And remember, no more beards that look like they belong in a nature documentary, all right? Let's win this thing. Go Yankees.
Wow. The boss, ladies and gentlemen. I think we've all wondered throughout today, what would he say about this policy?
I think it's exactly that.
Would it be exactly
just
that?
Just a little bit more explicatives in there.
Ah, yes. Good to hear from the boss. It's been a very long time. Those missives used to be a big part of this radio station.
Yeah, do you think when he woke up, he was stunned Cashman was still the GM?
That's a great question. It's been a long time, man. It's been a hell of a run. It's crazy to think about. This is a new day, though, in New York Yankee history. It is a new day. And now, Devin Williams can grow that beard back. Mm. It's funny to think about how, you know, Sean mentioned this at the top, that they did this for Devin Williams. They didn't do this for Devin Williams. But Devin Williams may have been like the final straw.
Yeah.
Like if you're Hal and you're thinking about a policy change for all these years, and then you have this guy you acquire, he looks so sad when he has to cut his beard, that could have been the final moment of, ah, screw it, let's do it.
Well, Hal is interesting that he talked about he's been thinking about this for some time. So it's not like this happened right now. It happened over the course of, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years, who knows?
Well, he even said it could be 10 years, yeah.
Right, he'd been talking about this for a long time. And I wonder what ultimately changed his mind, whether it was a player, whether it was someone in the organization, say Cashman himself, Aaron Boone, or he just was listening to the fan base.
Well, the fan base has been passionate about
this. I know they have. So I wonder yes, we're speculating it's losing Juan Soto and Devin Williams and potentially losing him in free agency if you don't amend this policy because he's so tied to his beard, so much so that he cut it. But you know what I mean? Like, what ultimately pushed him?
Yeah.
And I wonder what the advice was from former players, because he also said he talked to the former guys, not just the current guys.
Right. I think that whenever you make a big decision, there's more than one reason. And so my point about Juan Soto, and don't get this confused for anyone just tuning in. It's not that Juan Soto wanted to grow a beard or he left because of the beard policy. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you lost a free agent you didn't want to lose, mm-hmm. and you reevaluate everything.
Right.
You reevaluate anything that you think could put you at a disadvantage when battling for free agents. So I think that's a big factor. And yeah, I think when you acquire a player who had a beautiful, well-kept beard like Devin Williams, mm-hmm. and he's forced to cut it, and he looks so sad and different when it was cut. Like, Devin Williams, for whatever reason, when I was watching him throw a bullpen without the beard, I was like,
It's hard to recognize him. You don't even, who is that?
Oh, that's Devin Williams.
And I feel bad for him.
Why did George...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Institute this in the first place. Like, when was the first year?
I think he started. So he bought the team in 1973 from CBS, yeah. And George had that military background, mm-hmm. and wanted everyone to be well kept. And I think that's where it came from. And then the policies would change over the years. He had the fights with Don Mattingly, where Don really wanted to grow it out, or his hair, really mostly, I think, more so than a beard. And so it evolved a little bit, and then it just became the Yankee norm. You know, I think certainly in the 90s, it just was what it was.
Right.
And everyone's just accepted it. And there's never been a player publicly, other than Mattingly, with the hair stuff that has come out and said, I'm not going to play for them because of this, or I'm refusing to cut my hair or my beard because of this. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to your calls. Gabe is calling from Wayne, New Jersey. How are you, Gabe?
What's up, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call.
No problem.
Just wanted to go back to what we were saying about the World Series and how the teams matched up.
Yeah.
I do think you're both right to an extent. You know, I think that the Dodgers were the better team on paper than the Yankees in 2024. But what really cost the Yankees the World Series is that they blew a huge opportunity in that series.
Right.
And the big differentiators, it comes down to coaching, accountability, and culture. You know, so coaching matters. And to one of the earlier calls, the lackadaisical play falls to the manager to address.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Boone really only wanted to dog Gleyber Torres. I mean, if anyone else made a mistake on the team, it was all good. But Gleyber Torres was really the only one he felt comfortable dragging because
right.
He knew he was going to be gone in free agency.
By the way, I think there's more to that. And we didn't get into this with Mendy because it's a Yankee issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we already brought up enough Yankee stuff to him. What I heard in the past is that Mendy was the guy who would get on Gleyber.
Right.
And that what Gleyber really missed was Mendoza not being there.
Carlos Mendoza?
There's the good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
And Mendy could play that role as bench coach for the Yankees. Different as manager now with the Mets, so it has nothing to do with the Mets. But I had heard that Mendy was very good at basically making sure he can get on that ass without the manager, Aaron Boone, having to do it.
Now, I have zero, I don't care about the Detroit Tigers, but I'll be interested to see how he plays. Like, what's allowed to happen?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's already changed. Gleyber's got a full beard.
Yeah, of course he does.
He went over there and he's like, here's a full beard. Let's go to Patrick in Scotch Plains. How are you, Patrick?
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Appreciate love the show.
Thank you, man. What's up?
Tiki was such a huge Giants fan back in the day. My mom loved your teeth. She was a school nurse, and she always wanted to get you in to teach, to talk to her kids about dental hygiene. So shout out to your teeth, Tiki, man.
Yeah, the trick is to get braces late in your teen years, because that's when I did.
Nice. Look, man, as far as the facial hair goes, George would have never allowed this. This is sacrilegious for the Yankees. To allow facial hair. I mean, what are they going to allow next? The managers to wear pajamas?
Well, we just heard from the boss. He clearly didn't seem very happy with the policy. I think times change and people change and the environment of baseball changes. George Steinbrenner was in an environment in which a lot of it by choice, some of it by the economics, was able to outbid everybody.
Yeah.
It's not the world we live in right now. Now, I know there are many who say, well, George would just outbid everybody like it was 1996. Well, you've got a Dodger team, as Tiki's mentioned, that's also bidding like crazy.
And nor did they have the financial constraints, the CBT, right?
Right. The luxury tax thresholds and the different sets that they have now and the punishments,
right.
Obviously far different than what they had years
ago.
Right.
You could just do it indiscriminately when you were in George's era. Didn't matter. I had more money than you. Sorry.
Andy is calling from New Haven. What's up, Andy?
Gentlemen, so, you know, ZZ Top sang, every girl's crazy about a sharp-dressed man. You know what every girl's not crazy about? Long, gross beards.
Seriously. Didn't ZZ Top have beards?
Boy, that's the point. And, you know, that's a Norm McDonald joke that I ripped off.
Right.
You know, along with the king. But this was, listen, Evan, I just DM'd you my statement that I released on the matter about a half hour following the Yankees official announcement.
Right.
In the business, they call that rapid response. I put off doing actual work to do that this morning. No big deal. Not myself on the back, but
awesome.
It is what it is.
Right.
Evan, I hope you check it out. But I want to say this. I was at game 5 of the World Series. It's, you know, big deal for me. My girlfriend and I went. This is by far the most devastating day in the history of the franchise, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
That I can remember.
Wow.
What
do you think is
like
going to change, Andy? What's going to change?
Listen, it's a matter of professional decorum, and it's a certain thing that separated the Yankees on a professionalism level and on a prestige level. There, I use that word. I know it's kind of like a cliche almost at this point, but there were certain things, like certain intangibles and things like this, that just elevated the, I don't even want to use the word aura because it's a little overused, but elevated the aura of the New York Yankees. That now I just think it's kind of homogenizing everything, and now the things that make the organization unique are just getting sent by the wayside. And, you know, it started, God knows when it started, but, like, I waxed poetic about the advertisements on the jerseys and all these things. Like, it's just gradual, straying farther from the tradition that has really defined the legacy of the New York Yankees for decades, if not centuries at this point. And I understand the policy's only been around 50 years, right. But there weren't exactly, Thurman Munson comes to mind, but there weren't exactly guys running around with, like, Duck Dynasty beards on the Yankees before that.
No, but I think back then it was the hair thing more so than the beard
That's
thing.
Where I think it started from, yeah.
Had long hair, but, I mean, sports are dictated by success and money, right?
Yeah.
That's why you're doing these things. And when you look at, say, the international soccer, for instance, they have advertisers all over. Like, you can't even tell unless you know what teams are playing, who's playing. Or you know the names on the back of the jerseys. Because, like, Liverpool is not on the front of their jersey.
Right.
Right? It's some advertiser. Tottenham doesn't have Hotspurs on the front of their jersey. It's some advertiser. That's for money. But I think the success side of it is what makes guys feel the most comfortable. And I think that's what the Yankees are coming to terms with as it pertains to this beard policy. What is going to make an individual feel like I can be myself?
Well, the other thing we have to come to terms with is the Yankees just aren't the Yankees anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't change because of a beard policy. It's changed over the last 15 to 20 years
right.
in terms of success. And really, that's where I'll stop. And I'm not even going to get into the payroll because they still spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they aren't spending maybe as much as they could. That's certainly a fair argument from Yankee fans. But a lot of it is that other teams are spending more than they ever did. Including the New York Mets.
Yeah, they have a financial competitor, which they never... Well, there's multiple.
They've got multiple of them.
Multiple financial competitors.
Right.
Something they didn't have for most of their existence.
But more than anything, the Yankees aren't the Yankees because they don't win all the time. Now, mm-hmm. they're good. They make the playoffs a lot. But they have not been the best team in baseball in a very long time. In fact, last year was the first time they were the best team in the American League in over a decade. So while they've been good and they've been consistent, they haven't been the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
So this beard policy doesn't change that. It's already changed. And here's the other thing. I have a lot of respect for George Steinbrenner and what he did for this Yankee franchise. He helped turn the Yankee franchise around. Look, CBS was running them to the ground in the 1970s. The Yankees were a joke. The Horace Clark Yankees. I've heard it all. And what do? They come out. They win three straight pennants, back-to-back World Series. And even though they go through their issues in the 80s, where they still won games, they just didn't win championships, they come out and have a new dynasty in the 90s. The New York Yankees mystique, that came from the 20s. That came from the 30s. That came from the 40s. That came from Babe freaking Ruth. That came from Lou Gehrig. That came from Joe DiMaggio. That came from Yogi Berra. That came from Mickey Mantle.
Right.
That 70s into 90s Yankees, they didn't create the New York Yankees. They took it to another level. But let's not act like the Yankees didn't rack up most of their championships in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s with the names I just mentioned, and that was long before there was a beard policy.
They were just great.
They were just great for a myriad of reasons. It really started because of that dumb schmuck in Boston who sold Babe Ruth to the Yankees because he wanted to finance his dopey show that no one wanted to watch. That's where this whole thing started. What are the Yankees without that decision?
What was the show?
Why Wynette? Look it up. I'm close. I'm close to the actual name, but I'm not nailing it. The show that caused to sell Babe Ruth to the Yankees. The name of the show was Nanette. Told you. It was close.
Never heard of it, obviously.
You got to give me credit for being that close.
There was actual television then?
No, it's
Broadway.
Oh, my
God. Oh. Dude, it was a musical on Broadway.
Well, when you say show, everybody assumes TV.
In 1919, when Harry Frazee sold Babe Ruth, it was because of a TV show?
That's why I was questioning if you were right.
You think I'm going to be wrong about stupid stuff like this? The only thing I had a chance to be wrong about was actually naming the show correctly. What did I initially say before we got the no-no-no-net?
Whoa, 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 Nat.
Yes. That was close enough, right? We'll get back to your phone calls. Plus, we've got some business to take care of.
They made it into a movie.
Real? See, I didn't know that.
Nanette in 1940.
I think all Yankee fans should be forced to watch that movie because that show is the reason you became a dynasty.
Lively Nanette juggles the advances of two suitors, painter Tom Gillespie and Broadway director Bill Traynor.
How about that?
So it's about two dudes trying to woo a woman?
Yes. No, Nanette.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting plot.
Are you interested?
I am.
That show set up the Yankee dynasty. Let's just be honest about it.
Can we just be honest as men here?
Lively's uncle, by the way, is a hopeless philanderer constantly chasing pretty girls to the consternation of his wife.
So I'm in.
Sean's pumped.
I just want to make it clear.
Yeah.
Is it okay to find somebody in 1940 attractive knowing they may be old and dead now?
What kind of question is that?
I don't know. Like, some people might find that weird.
Why would we find that weird?
Okay, so I'm allowed. Like,
watch this. Cleopatra was hot.
That's where you went?
Well, why not? I go back way to the beginning.
We're talking about Yankees. How do you not go Marilyn Monroe?
I'm not ending the week this way.
That's a good one, too, by the way, Tommy. Marilyn Monroe, absolutely.
I mean, you just got to get past... What? Shut up. You don't know who Cleopatra... Oh, you're going to lose to Sal. You don't know who Cleopatra is?
Are you kidding?
You don't know who Cleopatra is?
I don't know who that is.
Really? You think I just made up a name?
No, I'm assuming she's... I just don't know who that is. I don't know the right... I don't get the right...
She was an actress in 1957.
Sure.
She actually was the first adult film star. Did you know that?
It's Cleopatra or Patra?
Cleopatra. Yeah, she got naked. It was crazy. It was such a controversy.
Oh, she was the mummified girl.
I wanted to see how long I could get him going with that story.
I believe that.
Speaking of Sean and his knowledge, yesterday on this program, he challenged who he claims is the dumbest person at WFAN, Sal Acata, to a trivia contest. Of course, Tiki presents Jeopardy, which me and Sean competed in. Well, after that challenge was levied by Sean, Sal Acata responded.
Are you an idiot?
We'll hear his response and also Sean's response to the response. With the Yankees changing their beard policy, we talked earlier, like, has it ever really stopped them from getting a free agent? Hal said he's talking in hypotheticals about how it could affect them from signing a free agent. Well, if you go back into the archives, we now have one confirmed case of a baseball player refusing to sign with the Yankees because of the beard policy. And this one actually worked out well for the Yankees, because it was at the end of this man's career, and it wouldn't have worked out well. So, luckily, his refusal turned out to be a good thing. But do you guys remember former San Francisco Giants closer Brian Wilson? Brian Wilson, back in 2013, going into the 14 season, which subsequently was his last year in the majors, was coming off a major injury, too, outright refused to ever shave his beard and said he would not sign with the New York Yankees because of that. So,
did not remember.
It's not like the smoking gun, because it's not, hey, they secretly tried to sign Bryce Harper and he said no. It's not that. But, yeah, for the most part, it probably hasn't impacted them much in free agent searches. But I think moving forward, especially not being able to be the bully financially they've been in the past, you want to take things out of your way.
Right.
So why have a policy in your way that could potentially keep you from a free agent?
Yeah, you don't. So they smartly have moved away from it.
They made a good decision. Now, I don't know if this is a good decision, but yesterday on the program, off of the victory, the resounding victory I had against Sean in Tiki Barber Presents Jeopardy, L in a Cell, where I beat him by a final score of 800-0, Sean said on our show, hey, look, I got to get a win. I feel like an idiot. I feel like a moron. I need to beat somebody in a trivia contest. And being the bully that he is, he decided to bully our coworker, Sal Acata, who lately has been picked on for his intellectually
bankrupt.
Thank you.
You'd be an idiot.
Are you an idiot?
Basically, he's an idiot, right? Now, I don't think he's an idiot, but that's what kind of the reputation has been. So Sean, being the bully he is, challenged him. He said, you know what? I need a victory. I want to face Sal in a Tiki Barber Presents Jeopardy trivia contest. Mm. Did I get that all right so far, Sean?
Yeah, I think you've about covered it so far. Mm.
Thank you. So Sal Acata heard what Sean said yesterday, and on his show, the Midday Program, which you can listen to every day, Monday through Friday, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Right before us.
Right before us, Sal Acata decided to respond.
I mean, look, I don't need to go at Sean Marash. Does anybody really think that he could beat me in a contest of intelligence, whatever the subject may be? But what I will say, BT, is much like in flipping cards, when I took out your manager, Marash, I will take you out in whatever game you like. Challenge accepted.
Let the battle begin. I know what I'm talking about, BT. I don't care what the topic is. I'll show you,
NGO.
And I am smarter than you think, and certainly smarter than Marash.
Okay, so I like that. So let's do a little baseline test of knowledge.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, boy. How many continents are there, buddy?
Oh, come on. Everybody knows that.
Do you?
Yeah. How I'm going to say, I don't want to give him a rest. 18.
Seven.
No, eight. Okay, yeah.
18?
Intellectually bankrupt.
Oh, jeez.
Well, forget the continent question. Is that going to be on Tiki Jeopardy?
I mean, it may be now.
There are seven. You're an idiot.
I give Sal a lot of credit. He's
except continents. One of them is just a block of ice.
That's right.
Which, by the way, has oceans deep underneath it.
Do you think Sean knows the name of that continent? That's
no,
just
do you know that continent?
It's Antarctica.
Oh, boy.
Antarctica, Australia, Asia.
No.
You'd be an idiot. Going.
Africa. Mm-hmm. South America, America, North America.
You're missing the easiest one.
Yeah, you're missing one. That's pretty obvious.
Wait. Antarctica, Australia.
Just starting over now?
No, just bear with me. Antarctica, Australia, Asia, South America, North America, Africa.
Where is France?
Europe.
Hey, what
are we doing here?
Very, very well done.
Yeah, very nice. But Sal has accepted the challenge, so we will have an agreed-upon date. I know he's away next week. Mm-hmm. I think the week after that seems like a good amount of time for you guys to prepare and for, obviously, you to prepare, T, because you're...
I like trivia.
You like it?
Yeah. By the way, there's oceans underneath the Antarctic continent because of pressure and the heat from the core.
Yeah, so it's
even
underneath
though,
the
even
ice.
Though it's frozen,
yeah.
Like hundreds of miles down, maybe thousands of miles down, there's moving water underneath Antarctica.
And animals we can't begin to understand that are living organisms down there. I'm a fat moron.
How do you know that?
I know more than I give off.
Okay, who was Cleopatra famously in a relationship with?
Oh.
She was in a relationship. I know. Hold on. It's the guy from A Night at the Museum.
You are right on that, by the way.
It is.
Not Ben Stiller.
Beware the Ides of March.
Medusa?
Medusa? No.
Come on.
JC.
Jesus?
No. That is another JC, but...
That is a JC.
Think,
who
says JC? You set me up to say Jesus.
Casinos.
Oh, Julius Caesar.
There you go.
But he was actually before Jesus.
That's right. Yes.
Julius Caesar was before Jesus?
He was BC. Yeah.
So Jesus might have had a Caesar salad.
I love how you thought me saying JC was setting you up to think that Jesus slept with Cleopatra.
Right. Also Mark Antony.
Yeah.
Not.
This was before J-Lo.
Not J-Lo. Yeah,
different one. So, Sean, Sal's accepted the challenge, which I think is great. I look forward to this. I've been told that on their show, after Sal accepted it, they went around the room to ask...
Who would win.
Yeah.
And I have the results on what Dove said, what Brandon said, and what Hoff said. So I think we should do the same, and we'll compare notes. So I'll start with Tiki, and obviously there's no bias here. You're setting up the questions independently and fairly. Mm-hmm. But in your estimation, who will win Tiki Jeopardy? The intellectually bankrupt Sal Licata.
Intellectually bankrupt.
Or... the I'm a fat idiot, or whatever that thing says. Sean, that wasn't me being quoted. I'm quoting the sound.
Twice today. Big Mac, you called fat. Me, I called fat.
I didn't call
a fat moron. Get on a treadmill.
First of all, I didn't call Big Mac fat. Michael K. called Big Mac fat.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
We played the audio. Fat crept in your mind. You got a sick fetish.
All I know is I'm giving Michael K. another 6 hours. He better DM Chris McMonagle and apologize for making fun of him for scoring a Yankees game that K. is calling. So, whatever. Yeah. Rewind to 4 o'clock if you want to hear more about that. Tiki, who is going to win in this intellectually bankrupt challenge between Sean Morash and Sal Licata?
Well, just like during the regular season of the NFL, where I call games for CBS, me and Andrew Catalan, last year Jason McCourty, and A.J. Ross, I have to stay neutral since I am officiating, calling.
This is Tiki Barber.
All right.
I mean, fair enough.
Tommy Lugauer, who do you think will win this battle of wits?
I'm going to go with Sal.
Wow.
All right. Sal wins. You got to wear the L for a week.
Ooh. Because I think that Sal can't lose. Mm. Sean has this reputation of being the buffoon, the bumbling idiot. Sal doesn't really have that reputation. It was challenged by Gio, and I just think Sal will want it more. Mm. So I think Sal will win.
Yeah, I think Sal's going to win for two reasons. Okay. Number one, I agreed with what you started to say. I think Sal, unfortunately, is looked upon as an idiot. And quite frankly, that's not fair. And I think he's looked upon as an idiot because he made the comment about a year ago where that he said he did not know who was running for president.
Intellectually bankrupt.
And I think that comment was, you know, people looked at it and said, what a schmuck.
Like, are you an idiot?
How does he not know that? I think it's an innocent mistake. I think he's very busy. He has a wife. He has a beautiful daughter. He's focused on his job at SNY. He works here at WFAN very hard. Like, I just think sometimes things slip your mind. And I think that one admission by Sal has caused this reputation that he's dummy. So I think, A, he's smarter than people think. But here's the second part. He needs it.
Mm.
And he knows it.
Right.
He knows that Sean Morash can lose. If Sean loses, we all laugh at him. Ah, the troll with Saquon. But Sal knows deep down he needs to beat Sean Morash. Right.
If he doesn't, he has to take the L.
He's going to take a major L.
Right.
And now, Sal knows it.
Sean, do not worry. You will still get to wear yours.
Thank you.
Because Tracy Johnson, my beautiful and lovely, amazing wife, has completed the other L.
Nice.
She has worked hard on
there
this show.
There is a pinstripe. Yankee pinstripe belt.
Nice.
With the actual blue diamond bedazzled pinstripes.
Oh.
There is a Jets green lace belt.
I'll be wearing that a lot this year.
And she is about to finish, probably currently working on the blue and orange.
Oh.
Mets L.
And that works for the Knicks too, by the way.
Yes, it does.
Tommy and I may have to share that one.
You know what my biggest takeaway out of that is? The Brooklyn Nets remain irrelevant.
Yes, very much so.
They constantly wear the L.
That's right. My biggest takeaway is that Tracy contributes more to the show than Morash does.
I'm just kidding.
I'm joking. Right. I'm joking.
Can I rebut?
I'm joking because I don't want you to take it seriously. Sean.
I'm not taking it seriously. I just want to tell you, you said that Sal needs it more.
I think he needs it more,
And that's why you guys are picking him. Yeah. The last time somebody in this town needed to win a big event more, he dropped the fly ball in the fifth inning.
That's a fair point. So, Loogie and I both think Sal will win. Well, guess what? Dove, Pete Hoffman, and Sal's partner, Brandon Tierney, all think Morash is going to win.
Intellectually bankrupt.
So, basically, it's like reverse town.
I mean, BT just threw a random easy one out for him, and he couldn't get it.
That's true.
The continents?
Yeah. That's a bad one. That makes me quit. I'm actually a little bit more nervous, but
by the way, he said eight
teeth.
Well, they were talking in his ear. That's why.
You know what?
Feed him the answer.
I changed my mind.
Still got Sal.
Who the hell fed him 18?
No.
Hockey's another idiot.
No. Guys, you're missing all this. You're missing the boat now. I know. Sal knew the answer.
Mm.
Sal is playing it up now.
Yeah.
Sal is now saying, all right, I'm an idiot. I'm intellectual. Okay.
Dumb like a fox.
Dumb like a freaking fox. Mm. So everyone's going to count them out. There's going to be bets made on this.
Oh, I see. For betting purposes.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
He wants to be the underdog, and he should be. And he is the underdog. So put that out there.
He's hustling Sean. Yeah, long 100%. Got it.
Because Sean now hears that.
Sean? He's hustling you all. Because you're gonna wager one way or another. Sean just wants to win.
By the way, we should do that.
Like, well, we're wagering our reputation. For sure.
No, we should bet with each other person. So if BT really thinks Sean's going to win, I'll bet with BT. You should bet with Hoff. We should all bet with each other. And we're betting for the other side, which is hilarious.
Have some stakes, make it interesting. Basically, more interesting.
We all think that the guy we work with is a bigger idiot. It's essentially
well, because we're around Sean more, so we see his idiocy.
And they're around Sal more.
And they see his idiocy at full display.
All right. Well, good job, Sean, and good job by Sal. Thanks. I think this is great, and I think we will pick an agreed-upon date that works for both parties. And, Tiki, I can't wait to see the questions you come up with.
I'm excited.
I can't either. And one note, I think Australia had a little moment like Pluto where they took it off the continents and added it back. That's what might have confused Sal.
Yeah,
what's the nation right near it?
New Zealand.
Oh.
Where Tiki went to for a day. Both very popular for their kangaroo population.
Oh, yeah.
Where is the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets from?
Australia.
There, look at that. He's getting very close. Let's go to Mike.
Outback Steakhouse, by the way.
Thank you. Mike in Clifton Park, New York. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Great show. Hey, for the Jeopardy, are you guys going to prepare for a tie? And are you going to have like a bonus question to spice it up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can do that. It's a good idea.
I think that's a great idea. I think we have to take the success of the previous Tiki Jeopardy and make it a little bit better.
And I aired in the first Jeopardy Tiki version because I did not take away points for Evan getting the wrong answer.
Well, no, I got the right answer. All I said
is, as a question.
I didn't phrase it like Jeopardy.
But we actually clarified that last night. He still would have won because I didn't deduct 600 points from Sean for guessing gravity, whatever the heck he said.
No matter how you...
Evan should have actually won negative 400 to negative 600.
Yeah, but 800 to zero sounds better. So let's stick with that. Yes. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
What's up, Mike?
Thank you. And so, you know, with the beards, my first thought was it's a sad day for the Yankees because I think they could usually offer the most money. Now they can't offer the most. There are other teams, so they have to default to, like, well, you can grow a beard. And, you know, if Hal was clever when they were going after Soto, he should have said, we will change our beard policy for you and give you a sweep if he was clever.
Right.
He did it too late.
Right.
So thanks, guys.
I appreciate you, Mike. I don't know if they had. I mean, I'm being honest. I'm just taking Cashman what he said, and I think he's probably right. I don't think they had sweets to offer. I just don't think they're just readily available.
It's actually,
there's so many companies that own suites at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, and look, there were a lot of elements to the suite issue. You had the fact that they haven't done that with other players.
Yeah.
They didn't do it with Derek Jeter. They didn't do it with Aaron Judge. They allowed them to buy suites.
Mm-hmm. Or buy access to a suite.
But it is a fair point. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier this week about Met attendance. Remember when Steve Cohen basically lectured Met fans and said, hey, guys, mm-hmm. I spent my own money if you wanted to do. And I'm not talking about billionaire Ted who joined the show yesterday. I'm talking about real Steve Cohen.
You mean the accountant for Bad Tiki?
Yeah, not that guy, but the real one. And the Mets probably have suites available. Giving Juan Soto his family suites is probably less impactful to any kind of bottom line than the Yankees, who may not have any suites available for all I know. Though I do get a lot of emails from the Yankees trying to sell me tickets. I do get that.
Well, they know you're a Knicks season ticket holder.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
So they see me as a sucker and they're like, he'll buy anything.
Yes. I bet all the teams sell their lists.
Yeah, that's probably true. But the Yankees don't need it as much, truthfully.
No.
Because
you never know. The Giants used to be that way.
With what?
The Giants didn't have to worry about not selling out.
They had waiting lists.
Years waiting lists.
Yep.
That is no longer the case.
No, you're right.
So you never know.
Things change. Ozzie in Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
Ozzie.
I think the trivia. Hey, what's up? I think the trivia is going to end in a tie, negative zero to negative zero, between those two zeros.
We'll see.
The court jester versus the village idiot.
I don't know which
one's which. You flip a coin.
All right.
Whichever one is supposed to be like the fatter, jollier one, we'll make that one Sean, and then the other one could be Sal.
Oh, so. Nice.
All right.
But what a time to be alive. It's a new world order. The stuffy, uppity, panicked, desperate Yank brass is realizing that their a-holier-than-thou attitude doesn't fly anymore. But alas, it's too little too late. The horse is already out of the barn. The Bronx is burning. Callers calling, arguing about this or that, disagreeing. They're not concentrating on baseball down there in Yankee camp. Meanwhile, Soto is merengueing and just having fun and playing ball down in Port St. Lucie. The mustard is back on the Juan Soto hot dog. And this is just the beginning, Shawnee boy. It's over.
Any response?
There is a new king in town.
All right, Ozzy. Any response to that, Sean?
I could say this honestly, and this is not meant to damper any Met fan expectations or hopes, because you know how I felt about this. The fact that we have arrived at spring training, Oz, and tomorrow Juan Soto, is he going to play? I guess he's
going to
play.
He is going to play. He's batting second. I already have it in my scorecard. Let's go.
I have zero feel and zero care and no anger tells me, you know what? The Juan Soto, the Yankee thing, it's over. Nobody cares anymore.
There is a moment, and Tommy doesn't believe me. I've said this a few times to him, and he literally thinks I'm lying to him. I am not. And I knew it even more so last night. There are moments in which you just get over things. Now, there are certain things in sports you never get over, 1,000%. I'd say a month ago, got over the Nets-Knicks trade on Mikal Bridges. And last night, Mikel made this incredible defensive play at the end of regulation, as clearly Tommy knows and the 37 other people that watched the last few seconds of regulation of the Knicks-Bulls game know. Tremendous play. And I watched it, and I said, that's a great play by Mikal Bridges. And it didn't bother me. It wasn't like stomach-inducing. It was just, I don't like the Knicks. I'd rather them lose. I'd rather Vukovic dunk all over them. But it was like, okay, like I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm over it. I really am. And I don't think you're being truthful that you're over Juan Soto quite yet, but I am being truthful that there are moments, and I think you'll have it, maybe this season, maybe it'll take a few years, where you just get over certain things. And maybe it's because Bridges was so less impactful in my team's history. Like, he was just a nothing. So maybe it's easier as opposed to a guy that led your team to a World Series. But I will raise my hand and swear to you that last night when Mikal Bridges made this incredible defensive play, and by the way, played a great defensive game in the fourth quarter. He was outstanding. I just looked at him as a nameless, faceless Knicks player as opposed to a guy
Not the guy that we called out the day before.
Correct. Yeah, just that guy. But that guy. Not a guy who played for my team. You know what I mean? Stay tuned, by the way, for Baseball Now New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, next on SNY.
You're both liars, by the way. Evan's lying.
I'm not a liar.
Yeah, you are. A block in a regular season game against the Bulls in February. Okay, so let's say Bridges has an awesome appearance in the finals. He's the finals MVP. The Knicks win the title. Is that going to bother
you? Yes, that would bother me. That's the extreme, though.
So then you're not over it. If Juan Soto hits a homer in April against the Diamondbacks, Sean won't care. But if Juan Soto leads the Mets to a World Series victory, he and his Yankee brethren will care because they're not over it.
So you brought up an extreme example, which is the Knicks winning a title with Bridges as MVP. I'd agree with you that would rekindle my botherness.
Right.
But Tiki should probably say this and not me because I'm the jerk. That's not realistic, right, Tiki? It's not happening.
It's not happening.
So you're over
it's
it.
It's not happening.
Thank you.
So Evan is...
Oh, you wanted me to say that. Yeah, hey, it's not happening.
It's not happening.
Evan isn't really over it. He just feels in his soul the Knicks are not winning a title.
Well,
so it's easier for him to say he's over it because he knows that his worst fear is not a reality.
It's
not going to become a reality.
Christmas Day.
Yes.
Bridges was awesome.
He was great.
Pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
Pissed me off. I mean, and it's a regular season game.
Well, but it's a showcase game on Christmas.
Yeah, but I don't...
More eyeballs on
it. Okay, Sunday afternoon's a showcase game against the Celtics.
It is.
If he goes... it won't bother me if he plays well. Like, I'm over that. You're bringing up an extreme example, and I'd give that to you, because I'd be lying if I said, yes, he's the finals MVP, and I don't care. Of course that would bother me, but I think that's far less realistic than the example you gave to Sean, which is, okay, he gets over Soto, and then Soto leads the Mets to the World Series. He can. You probably think he will. There isn't anybody with the same brain cell that thinks Mikal Bridges is winning the finals MVP.
That's true. All I know is I have flipped the page. I'm excited for Yankee baseball. And there's not a thought in my mind that, Juan Soto's playing for the Mets.
Okay, Tommy, be fair. Tiki, be fair.
Okay.
Which one of us is being more honest about their overness towards the player, me or Sean? I don't think it's close, but okay.
Go ahead.
Come on, you're thinking about this?
You can go first.
You're offending me right now.
It's you.
Evan is being more fair.
You know,
you're being more fair.
Of course I am, because I'm genuinely over it.
Hold on.
I feel like he's over it.
Thank you. I was with you when I got over it, when we booed him at Barclays Center. Remember I was there.
I'm not denying that
he's over it.
I just hate this either or. I actually think the Juan Soto situation is probably the moment in this town I've handled the best. I've spoken into congratulations. I am so far past it now because I didn't cry about it.
But he hasn't played a game yet.
He's sharpening his knife. Don't buy what Sean is selling right now. He's waiting
for the Mets. That's a you guys issue. Like, be excited for him. I'm over it because the Yankees have moved on.
Right, but
have they?
I saw the Yankees today with Bellinger, Goldschmidt. I'm over it.
But like, my opinion or how I handled Mikel, I think, is more normal. Tiki was sitting next to me at that game. You got sick. You weren't there. Even Tommy was there. I was a child. Remember, I was booing Bridges every time he touched the ball?
And you were muttering under your breath about it, too. It was very childlike.
It was childlike. That I needed to do that, and I was good. I'm good now. I got it out of my system. Like, I'm over. He's just another player on the team. Like, I'm good. You haven't had that moment yet.
We
will, by the way. We're going to do a show. I'll announce that now. We're going to do a show at Yankee Stadium before Mets Yankees. We'll be there. And good news, Teague. We'll be off at 6:25.
I will go with two guys
and
I know.
And you're going to boo his ass, as you should.
I'm going to sit in the right field line. I know two guys, perfect guys to go with. And anytime Soto runs over to the corner, we're going to make sure he doesn't get any balls. That's what I'm going to do.
You're going to make sure he doesn't get any balls?
He's making the Mookie Betts jokes for the two.
Oh.
And that's how I'll get over it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my point, though. You will get over it.
I'm totally over it. And by the way, Rangers play a big playoff game that night. You guys can sit there by yourself.
If the Rainbow, if the Knicks play a big playoff game, it's just going to be me and Tiki.
The Rangers will be sitting home watching highlights of the Four Nations and how they screwed that one up. They will not be playing the game. Well, I'm very confident.
Oh, yeah, by the way, quick exit on that. Good job, Brock Nelson, icing the puck to give Canada to win. And Adam Fox, so jacked up, he couldn't even skate over to guard Connor McDavid on that last goal.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about this.
We got to go to break.
Well, we'll go to break one in a second here. I kept thinking of reasons why Sean wasn't into the Four Nations, and I kept giving reasons, and I think they were all pretty accurate. And then I'm sitting there last night watching this game, and I'm like, now I know why he truly, truly hated it. Because the Rangers are the scrubs on the team. So they're not being showcased.
That's funny.
They're not the stars of stars. So when everyone's watching, they're like, who are the... Don't give me JT Miller. He just got here a week ago. He just got here a week ago. I'm talking about the Trocheck and Kreider.
Well, they brought on Kreider, and they brought him on because one of the...
Got hurt.
Somebody got hurt.
Yeah.
It's your best player.
That I agree.
It was Brady, right?
Brady, and then he played the final, but still Kreider played the last thing. Look, JT Miller was showcased on the party
just got
shot.
Here. He's not really a Ranger.
The most invisible star in the whole tournament was Jack Hughes, by the way. Mm. So
okay, wait a
minute. Why are you taking shots at the Devils?
Sean McDonough and Ray Ferraro did all night last night, so I'm just, again, resurfacing. Mm.
The Ranger players were the guys invisible. On the bench warmers for the team. So it's okay. That's why you were mad.
You guys done?
Ranger players still tried harder in their All-Star moment than any Knicks player.
Just because you wish you had Sanderson, it's all good.
By the way, another thing wrong with the tournament. The guy's Canadian playing for Team USA.
Is that true?
Come on.
Yeah, I don't get that eligibility
thing. Either.
It's very confusing.
Hey, what would you like to be? I want to be Canadian.
Yeah, whoever's giving me more Tice time, that's right. Where I'll be.